Namaste, guten Tag, salam alaikum. We are back with the 29th episode of the World of Heritage. And with all our summer busy schedule, me, Mary, Stephanie, and Diana are aiming still to continue this project, introducing our heritage community. Today, me and Stephanie are the hosts of this episode and happy to have a talk with our classmate from Delhi, Mitali Gupta.
Mitali was born and raised in Delhi, India. She studied her bachelor in architecture and planning at the Guru Gobind Singh University and graduated in 2017. After graduation, she got involved in a number of work experiences and projects as a research architect at the Indian National Trust for Art and Cultural Heritage in New Delhi and a research associate and intern architect. Mitali got involved in a number of volunteer jobs as a coordinator for the World Heritage Watch, as a writer for the European Heritage Times, and as a web editor and content developer at the ESAC organization in Germany. Mitali is in her fourth semester of the World Heritage Studies program and did an exchange at the Polytechnical University in Turin in Italy. Currently, she is also part of the student council and works within a lot of projects for the university.
Wow, well done, Mitali. Hi, thanks a lot for joining us. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Thanks.
So it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Let's start with the first part of the questions. Mitali, why did you decide to study architecture for your bachelor? And what made you shift your focus to World Heritage Studies?
So when I got into architecture, my main motive was basically to build houses, as anyone would think of. But architecture in India is like a five-year course. And during that course, you get exposed a lot to different varieties of designs and design complexities, etc. And it was during that time that I realized that I don't want to get into commercial architecture or work for an MNC. And that's how during my internship also, it got reinforced that I don't want to work for a builder, or I don't want to just earn money, but I want to contribute and work for a social cause while doing architecture. And that is something that I was interested in. But at the same time, I was also interested in built heritage. Therefore, I joined INTAC, which is the heritage consultant. They work nationally and they protect the built heritage across the country. I worked there as a research architect and got more interested in heritage in general. And that is how I decided to do my master's in World Heritage here in Germany.
Mitali, you had 3 years of research experience in architecture. Can you please tell us about your experience and what skills you learned during this time?
My research experience is more connected to built heritage, as I mentioned before. What I learned was there is a lot of scope in research, but the value of research is yet not explored, not to the level it should be. And that is why in today's time, specifically considering the pandemic, etc., I feel that we need to upgrade our skills and move from what we actually do to something that we can communicate easily. And that is how I think my master's course is also helping me, because then I can do a variety of things and explore my skill set. And then the research becomes more plausible for people who want to actually understand the technical terms as well.
Great. You have been an active member to different organizations, for example, as a writer, volunteer, or also a coordinator. Can you tell us which one did you find the most fulfilling of your tasks, and which organization would you recommend working with?
This is a tough question, because every organization that I joined was because of the team and because of what they were doing and their cause. So each of the organizations that I'm involved in is doing different kinds of tasks and different kinds of work. And it is generally out of interest that someone volunteers for such organization. But if I have to recommend someone who is a student in master's course, I would definitely want him or her to consider being a part of ESAC, which is European Students Association for Cultural Heritage. It is not only an organization that will give you a scope or sort of a skill set to develop in general in different areas like writing, publishing, website designing, etc. But it is also a group of students who come together to discuss such things and heritage in general. So yeah, I would definitely go for ESAC, but like different organizations, as I said, have different motives.
We saw that you had some publications and articles released. Can you tell us about those and what is your advice for people that are also interested in writing and publications?
My publication articles were thankfully guided by my supervisors who encouraged me to publish them. But I think the end goal should not be focused on publishing something, but the end goal should be to bring forward on the table something that has not been done before, and that itself will get you published. So if you're interested in a topic, just go for it and just do it and get the background study and bring your thoughts to it. And apart from the facts, just start questioning things. And I think that is something that most of the publishers also respect a lot in today's time. And apart from that, we all already have a lot of organizations like ESAC considering, or European Heritage Times, who consider volunteers specifically in heritage, who want to write about heritage or build heritage or natural heritage. So one can start from there and then go to the professional level and explore more topics.
Thanks a lot for the advice and answering our question for the first part. We will take a short break and come back in a few seconds.
Welcome back to the second part of our podcast and with our lovely guest, Mitali.
So Mitali, moving to Germany, how challenging was it for you before and before pandemic, and how it has been during the pandemic?
To be blunt about it, I would not start answering this question from Germany, but from Belgium. I started a master's in architecture in Belgium and I dropped it. I paid the fees, I did everything. And this is something that is not acceptable to most of the parents, to most of the students. And I got a lot of backlashing also for this, that, you know, I took a step forward and then I just backed off as if I do not have the strength to do it. But when I reached Belgium and I started the course, I knew that this is not for me. And it was a tussle to actually find your own self and to know what you want to do finally. And it took me a couple of months. And finally, I decided to come to Germany. And thankfully, I did have a lot of support. I still do. I came along with my best friend, who was also a colleague in my national consultancy back in India. And shifting to Germany, that is why, because I was accompanied by a good friend, was not that big a challenge as it was in Belgium. But definitely, if you are shifting to a country, there are new challenges that you face. And at the end, it all depends on the mindset, what you want to achieve, and if you're positive about it, etc. But for me, the experience has been really, really amazing so far. And more than that, I think I respect the colleagues. More than that, I respect the people I'm working with. And that is what brings the energy and allows me to move forward.
Well said. That was a really good advice. You're also part of an Indian community and media group. What sort of activities do you do?
So the media group is basically ISAC, which is Indian Students Association in Cottbus. Initially, I was, to be very blunt, I was not interested in participating in any cultural event organization or anything like that. But as I said, like when you have people around who are motivated enough to do things, you yourself get motivated. And I was just talking with a bunch of friends who wanted to do the similar thing. And they said, would you want to join? And that's how we just started working on it. And we grabbed the teams, we started the structure, And what we basically do is we guide the people who are coming from India to Germany in different aspects and help them around to settle. And they can contact us through emails and through our media. We also provide support in general. For example, IRO, that is the International Relations Office, tells us to disseminate certain information. So we do that. So it's more of a structure which is informal, wherein students from India can approach us as and when they require help.
Okay, great. And coming back to Cottbus, how do you find life in Cottbus and what is your favorite site?
For me, Cottbus is like the perfect city that, though I'm an architect, I'm just the most directionless person one can ever find. So Cottbus for me is like a breath of fresh air because it's just so tiny that I don't have to find my way. And no matter what, I can get back home. So I like the fact that coming from Delhi, the shift to Cottbus has been amazing because it makes me feel more confident when I'm roaming around the city. And definitely, like, Delhi has its own city life, but Cottbus is more towards, also because of the university, towards the university life. And for me, it's just a small city to not only be with friends, not only to study, but also to explore, because it has got tiny spots where you can just be with yourself. And that is why I think, apart from the Altmart, which I think every one of us knows, I personally really like the Spree area, which is behind the Pushkin Park. And whenever I am feeling unsettled, that is the area that I go to and just sit and remind myself of where my roots are.
So you came from Belgium to Germany, correct?
Yeah.
Did you travel a lot in Germany when you came, or and before the pandemic, or also during your time in Belgium?
So traveling somehow has been a family thing, I would say, and I've been traveling to countries since ever. But after coming to Germany, it was mostly with friends, and it was very instant plans. So before the pandemic, we had a trip to Czech. And during Christmas, and apart from that, we went to Sweden to meet a friend, and of course Poland, which is just right around the corner. But within Germany, thanks to European Heritage Volunteers and European Heritage Times, I got to explore areas which I might not have in general. So we went to the Ore Mountains, we went to the Saxony region, Dresden, Leipzig. And yeah, that's about it.
What is your favorite city in Germany?
I think I haven't yet explored Germany the way I would want to. So I can't pinpoint the favorite city. And this might or might not come out as a shock, but I still go for Cottbus.
Okay, fair. So also, going back to India, coming from the country of color and the spices, is there any food or culinary dish from home you miss the most?
Thankfully, here I got friends who are great cooks. So they generally cook almost everything that we do back in India. And also because they come from different states, so I get the taste of different states here. In particular, it is not actually a particular dish that I miss, but I definitely miss my mom's food, because that is something that I cannot cook. And the way she does it, it's not on me. I don't have the patience. So it's more about how she does it and no matter what she's cooking. So that's what I miss.
Well, I think a lot of listeners and a lot of students at the BTU can relate to that, missing mom's food at home. So yeah, that's a good one. Okay, so we are done with part two. Let's take a short break and continue in a few seconds.
Hi again, we are back with the third part of our questions. Mitali, please tell us, what is your opinion of the World Heritage Study program, and has it met your expectations, or has it fallen short on some?
I would say when I joined the program, I came with zero expectations. The reason I chose the course was twofold. One, that it is a UNESCO recognized program. And in India also, it is recognized. So we got a handbook of Council of Architecture and it gets recognized under the architecture masters. But when I came here during the first semester, there was a bit of setback in the way the things were or the way the study is in Germany in general, especially for a few courses. But definitely, I feel that at least at the master's level, it's more on the students and not particularly only on the lecturers who are giving you the material. And that is what I learned, that, you know, if you put in more effort and if you are willing to learn, it can just go to another level. And thankfully, I think that we did have, and we do have, a couple of professors who are willing to go the extra mile for us. So it has been, for me, it has been a really nice experience and I'm not disappointed. Yes, the pandemic did shift things a bit, but at least my first semester was not online. So I got that advantage.
Yes, I think a lot of first year students are jealous to this experience you guys had for your first semester. So what was your experience with the Heritage Volunteers? Will you join another project this summer or what are your plans?
So I did a volunteer project last year in Halberstadt, which is a Jewish city, used to be a Jewish city, and we were supposed to conserve and document the Jewish cemeteries there. And now that all of the cemeteries there are documented, we have gotten a project to document the mikveh. And being an architect myself, I was approached by the head of the organization to be the technical assistant this time. So I decided to just do that project again, wherein I will guide the volunteers who come in for technical documentation of the mikveh. So that's my plan for the volunteer project.
And are you taking any course apart from that and planning to write your thesis for this semester? Do you get any topic online?
So one thing that I learned from my bachelor's was to never jump to topics that if definitely you do not want to. And secondly, even if you want to and you're not sure. So I prolonged my thesis and decided to explore more, specifically because BTU does offer a lot of other opportunities and we are connected to a lot of organizations. So that is why I did an Erasmus in Italy to explore more, especially in architecture, to know if I want to do something related to it in my master thesis. Now I've gotten an internship in Brussels with European Historic Houses. So I hope that I will get a better understanding of the policies and stuff. So I think at this level, though things are uncertain and I don't know what will happen, but I'm just making an effort to explore more and take the benefit of doubt of the pandemic itself, doing things online and volunteering and stuff, and getting to know what I'm really interested in before jumping to a topic. So no, master thesis is something that I will leave for another semester, maybe next year.
Wow, amazing. I mean, I'm speechless right now. So talking a little bit more about your last semester, how was your third semester exchange in Italy? What were your experiences? What courses have you taken there? I mean, you mentioned a lot of architecture courses, but in general, which classes or courses did you take? And how does the university work and how did you like the courses there in comparison to the BTU?
One thing is that, as I mentioned, that when I shifted, it was not exactly a shift from architecture to World Heritage. For me, I was always interested in World Heritage, and that's why I'm still connected to architecture. And though you do get courses in our masters also to explore architecture, but they are not precise. And that is why I decided to do an Erasmus in Polytechnic Turin, which is known for the architectural restoration course. And despite the pandemic, I got the chance to visit the site, which was a palace. It's a beautiful palace in Turin. There was a little bit of exploration there and getting to know some people, et cetera, et cetera. But I would say that people always glorify the fact that you're doing an Erasmus. They will always glorify the fact that you're going the extra mile. But no one actually talks about the hardships. And I must admit that the pandemic, no matter what you say, it is difficult. So an Erasmus, as you will assume it to be in general scenario, is not what it is right now during the pandemic. And one has to be really self-motivated to do an Erasmus right now, because you never know what the situation will be, and you will be inside your house and you might not even get to know people outside. And for a city like Turin, or for that matter, a country like Italy, to not be able to go outside and just be stuck inside your home working without knowing anyone, that was also a task, at least for the first month. So there are challenges. There are still challenges connected to what I'm doing with the Italian modules. But at the same time, if you look at the academic part that you asked, there are differences, of course, between how they conduct their classes and how BTU does. My opinion might be very personal, but Italians in general do talk a lot. And that is something that I'm just not comfortable with, because we were sitting like from 8 a.m. in the morning to 7 p.m. in the evening, just because the professors have to talk a lot. And I was comparing it with the German professors, who would have wrapped the course in like two to three hours, and I would have had the rest of the day to myself. So no, I like Germany better. I like the German professors better. I like the timing better. But in terms of the content of the course, definitely I explored a lot, and they knew what they were teaching, and they were upfront about it. It was nice.
Very interesting. What about your after graduation? Do you have any plan? What direction will you head after graduation?
So I feel that we have come to a point in general wherein one should always stay connected to academic, no matter what job you get. So my goal right now is definitely to focus on improving my skill set. But at the same time, when I look 5 years down the lane, I want to have a job which is not country dependent anymore, where I can work from anywhere that I want. But at the same time, I'm connected to academics somehow. You know, I'm connected to students. I'm connected to people who are still having the zeal to learn and to explore with them, because that kind of energy is something that we lose while we are in a job, and especially a job which is either 24/7 or either 9 to 5. So I think I'll want to do something that is both connected to academics as well as having a job that is not country dependent.
That's a good plan. We hope you achieve it. We have one final question for you, which is, what is your favorite World Heritage site and why?
This is a tough question, because I think a lot of the World Heritage sites which are listed and should not have been listed. So I will not go by the list, but I would definitely go by the country. And because I come from India, I've done a bit of research in Delhi itself. I just might go for the Humayun's tomb, which is, people would say Taj Mahal, but Humayun's tomb was basically a preliminary thing which was done before Taj Mahal to explore the architecture. And that is how Taj Mahal was the epitome of what it is today, because of Humayun's tomb. So I think Humayun's tomb has a lot of learning, a lot of things, a lot of skills that the artisans actually put forward. And right now, because of Aga Khan Trust for Culture, they're doing a lot of work, which is quite great on site. And the conservation work is also amazing. And they recently even won an award for it. And I think that is one site that they're putting funds in, and also including the villages around, and, you know, the Nizamuddin Basti and stuff like that. So it's an urban regeneration project as well. So yes, for me, a World Heritage Site is something that should do more than being just a label of World Heritage Site, which Humayun's tomb is right now doing. So I'll go for it.
Thank you so much, Mitali, for taking the time to share your story with us today. We hope you have had fun with this, and we wish you a great rest of the semester. It was great having you here on the show, and we are looking forward to know everything that happens to you after your graduation. We are looking forward to getting to know everything.
Thank you.
Great, and thanks to all our listeners for supporting podcasts along the way. We had such a pleasure to see our classmates and get to know them more, and are excited to share all their stories with you guys.
Be sure to check out next week's 30th episode. We have a surprise in store for you, dear listeners, in celebration for making it to 30 episodes. So to say, stay tuned and keep updated with the latest episodes.
Interested in sharing your thoughts and stories? Feel free to contact us. You can reach us on Instagram, The World of Heritage, or email. Thanks again for tuning in. Afidazan, Dusivadinya, Slain, Un Namaste.